Seeing the trees in the forest, the opportunities to serve your clients with the DI, my question to you would be this: who here has enough of that? If you don't have enough of it, then you're here, and I hope that you will learn there's a lot of money in this stuff for you and for your clients. And we're talking high stakes here. And so if you're looking for another stream of income for your practice, I'm going to suggest that you look into providing disability income for your clients. It will benefit them immensely, but it'll also help you and add that to your practice. But you know, a lot of advisors do a really good job, but they overlook disability income because they don't understand it. They don't want to look stupid. None of us want to be asked something we don't know about. And it's just like this poor soul in the convertible here is going to look pretty stupid in just a minute when that truck goes under the bridge. You know, nobody wants to have egg or something worse on their face. But the one thing I will point out to you is this: it is hard to sell what you don't own. Anybody here ever sat across the table from a client and you were pitching, let's say you're pitching whole life insurance, and they've asked you, well, do you have it? Does that happen to anybody here? Or you're selling some kind of an annuity product, well, do you have it? Or if you're a PNC guy, they ask you if you're selling an umbrella policy, well, do you have one? Go ahead.
You usually say, what kind do you have? Or how much do you own? Or something like that.
Yeah, they want to know. Because they're in their mind, they are saying, if it's good enough for me, it must be good enough for thee. And we come across as a real hypocrite if what we're trying to sell them, we don't own. And so I would suggest to you that the first app you write should not be on yourself for a couple of reasons. A, you need the coverage. You're no more bulletproof than your clients are. But B, you'll understand the process. There is a direct correlation between the amount of DI that you own and the amount you're going to sell. I had an experience with a DI specialist in a local agency, and this particular company happens to have their own proprietary product. And I said, tell me about the DI you're selling. And he told me a little bit about it, and I said, tell me about the DI that's owned by your producers. And he said, about 23% of them own individual policies. I said, is there a relationship between that 23% and the DI your agency's selling? And he sat there for a minute and he says, yeah. It's almost always the ones who own it are the ones that are selling it. So the advantage to you, first off, you're going to get a discount because you're buying it on yourself and you're getting the commission. But secondly, you will understand it and it will take you out of the role of being a hypocrite. So buy one. Now, I would suggest that if we do not bring up disability income protection to our clients, we're doing what I call a DI disservice to our clients. The last phone call that any of us want to get is from one of our clients who's laying in a hospital bed and having them say, well, you took care of all my needs. Tell me about my DI protection. And for you to have to say, well, we never got around to that. Or I, you know, didn't think it was you'd want that. Well, about the time that they're sitting in the hospital bed, they want it. And so let us not overlook this for them. Now, picking the forest in the trees, there's all kinds of them. Some of them have more leaves than others. And guess what? Each one has a spot in the forest. And so we're going to talk about six. And you have your little handout here that you can use for note-taking that may be of value to you as we're discussing this. But when I am discussing disability protection with the client, I will take the little paper that you got here and I will fold it like so. So all they can see is the four hows, because I will say to them, you know, at this point in your life, all you really want to know is four things. And I will say to them, you know, in whatever world they're in, whether they're a plumber or an architect or a dentist, will look on their bookcase and says, you know, in that bookcase, there's words in those books that would confuse a guy like me. And I'll say, you know what, in the insurance world, there's all kinds of words that confuse a guy like all of us, and most of them are written by attorneys, and they're not very interesting words. I don't say that to the attorneys, by the way. But whatever the case, I'm only going to use four insurance words. Is that okay? And I'll nod my head, and they'll nod their head. And they'll say, at this point in the conversation, so we have some common ground, there's really only four things you want to know. I call them the four hows. You want to know how much you can get. You want to know how long you can get it. You want to know how long you wait to get it. And the big one, you want to know how much is it going to cost. They always want to know that one. I say, I can't tell you until we talk about the other three. And then we'll come up with a plan that fits you. So for you, the benefit of those of you who have not sold before, this may be new. For those of you who've done it before, it'll be a review. But I say, the first how is how much you can get as a client. And I'll tell them it's called the benefit amount. There's the first insurance word. And it is up to 70% of their income. And I'll say, how come you cannot have 100%? And they'll get this deer in the headlights look. So let me ask you, how come they can't have 100%? Go ahead. Yeah. Think about it, folks. If you and I could go home, sit on the couch, and make the same amount of money watching Oprah or whatever our favorite TV show, that might make you nauseous. Let's try something else. Watch your favorite sports program. If we could sit home on the couch and get the very same amount of money that we get going to work every day, would we ever get off the couch? And so the carriers know that. They want us to have a little bit of a prod to go back to work. And so we'll say up to 70%, and they'll accept that. They may come up with a bunch of other reasons, but that's one that they can typically understand. The next of the house, how long you can get it. Next insurance word is benefit period. I'll say a year or 2 years. By 1, 2, 5, 10, to age 65, 67, or 70, maybe lifetime. I'll say there's a direct correlation between that premium thing you want to know with how long the coverage is going to last. One thing I've found you need to clarify for them when they see that 10-year thing, they have it fixed in their mind that it's like term insurance. You buy it today, 10 years later from now, it's gone. No, I say it's not like that 10-year term you've bought. It's you buy it today, maybe nothing happens to you for 2, 3, 5 years. And then when it happens, that's when the meter starts running out on you. So you have to clarify that with them. Next one is how long they wait to get it is elimination period. And that can be 30, 60, 90, 180, 360 days. Now, those of you guys that have sold DI before, has anybody here ever sold a 360-day elimination period? I've never sold a 360. I've sold a few 180s. The most common is 90. And I'll tell you why. If you and I, for example, are out playing in the yard, going golfing, camping, whatever, we blow out our knee, sprain our ankle, whatever, 30 days from now, we're back to work with one of those designer shoes on our feet or a brace on our knee, but we're back to work. If you're my age and you have a good heart attack and survive it, in 60 days you're back to work, light duty, looking for sympathy, but you're back to work. But there is a line in the sand at 90 days that if a body is not able to go back to work by the time that 90th day has come about, they are not going to go back to work for 2.5 to 4 years. Something about that 90-day mark is significant in how they're going to approach recovery. And if at that 2.5 to 4 years, and you say, Bart, why such a widespread? Depends on their gender, depends on their age at the time the disability happens. If at that 2.5 to 4 year mark, they are still alive, because some people might not make it through that period of time, they probably will never go back to work. Now, where did Bart get these statistics? Write this website down. It's www.disabilitycanhappen.org. That is the Council for Disability Awareness website. It's a public website. You can go there and you can learn tons of stuff. There are charts there. There are graphs. There are statistical data about the kinds of claims and the frequency of them. All the DI carriers send in information there and they collaborate it and put out some great stuff. And you can go there, your clients can. They cannot buy anything there. And so as a result, you can safely take them there and say, you want to know about DI? Here you go. Here is more information than you probably want. But I tell you what, it will give you some background to help you reinforce the need for it. Okay. Last one, how much does it cost? It's the premium, and that is a function of the other four hows. And I say to the good folks, I say, this is like going down to Mr. Mack and buying a suit. Now, for those of you who are local, you know, that's a fairly popular suit store here. And I tell them, I say, you know, if you're vertically challenged, if you're my height, I can promise you if I walk into Mr. Mack, I'm guaranteed one thing. The pant legs are too long. But when I walk out of there, they will fit and they'll have cuffs or straight legs, whatever, on them. And they will have tailored that pair of pants and that suit to fit me, take it out, pull it in, whatever you need be. And so that's what we're going to do for you on your disability thing. So when you're having this conversation, I want you to watch out for a common mistake that leaves kind of a bad taste in their mouth. And, but we do kind of the same thing. And I did it to myself just 2 weeks ago. We tend to overquote. I did it, shot myself in the foot. And I thought, Bart, how many times you got to hit yourself in the head to remember not to do this? I think that we need to give our clients a choice. But we tend to overquote them, and by that I mean we propose this. This is what they can afford, and that's what they end up with. Now, fellas, I will tell you this is a prime example where having a good, solid woman in your life will provide lots of balance. But no, we tend to, and like I said, I did it the other day, and I thought, how did you fall into that, Bart? I tell them many times, you know, I feel ethically obligated to show you the most benefit for the longest period of time. And I promise you one thing, when you see that, it's going to be a big number. And then we'll tailor it down. I say, it might be like buying a car, and I'll pick on the Toyota world because I have one and I know how the models they make. You go down to the Toyota dealer, and on the far right-hand side of the dealership is the Lexus. And it has heated leather seats, alloy wheels, parallel parks itself, and who knows what else it'll do. It might cook your breakfast for all I know. On the other end of the parking lot, you find the Yaris, and it still has four wheels and a steering wheel. I don't even know if they have power windows on those. But whatever the case, you got two ends of the spectrum, but they get you from point A to point B, and in the middle they got the Corollas, the Camrys, the Avalons, and who knows what else, a whole bunch of trucks and SUVs. But the bottom line is there's something there for everybody. And so when we're talking, you say, you know, I feel ethically obligated so that you've seen this, and in parentheses I say, and you might actually buy it, but it may be pretty spendy. And as a rule of thumb, I have taken that if the premium is any more than 2 to 4% of their income, it's too much, and they won't buy it. Heavy on the 2%, not so much on the 4%. But I say it's going to be a big number, but that way, come claim day, they can never say, well, I would have bought that if you would have showed it to me. You know? So keep that illustration in the file just so that you come claim day, you can say, look, I showed this one to you. But you know, give them the opportunity, and then you can start cutting and pasting. And that's where you see on the little sheet here, I will say to them now, at this point, you've been exposed to the internal workings of it, and you know more than a whole lot of insurance people do. What's important to you? How much of your income do you want to protect? How long do you want to protect it for, and how long can you wait to get it? And I have them circle it so that they have kind of committed in their mind what their parameters might be. And then I say, you know, that tells me that somewhere between $0 and whatever the number's going to be, there's a number that may fit you and be your premium tolerance that you can comfortably put towards this. And so it starts the conversation about how important it is to you, to them, and so on. So that may be valuable to you. You're welcome to steal any idea I throw out at you because, you know, if it works for you, it works for you. Now, that being the case, we tend to look at group as another part of that thing. Okay, I can tell I've sold a fair amount of group. It has its place in the DI world. It has some good strengths. It has some disadvantages. First off, you can write a group policy on an employer as small as 2 people. It can be a chiropractor and their helper, or a plumber and their helper. So you can write it on groups as small as 2. You can have short-term and long-term. It is guaranteed issue. Invariably, it is always the owner of the company that has had the heart bypass. And sometimes the only way you're going to get coverage for them is if you use a group one because of the guarantee issue thing. Now, the carriers monitor the underwriting on the claim side and the income on the claim side. And so be aware that it has a different underwriting process. I mean, to get one, you get the quote from the carrier, and as long as they've got a check and a pen, they can get it. Now, be aware that on the short-term side, and this may be an advantage, if you have employers who have females in the childbearing years, the group short-term disability will treat maternity as any other illness. And so it gives them a maternity benefit if you want to do. So how do you get it? No needles, no scales, no cups, unlike individual products. You start with a census, and I'll tell you what the value of that is. They may not buy the group thing, but that census gives you information as who is there, how much they make, what they do, who's a partner. It gives you information that you can mine to sell some key person life insurance, some buy-sell life insurance, and some of the other DI products we're going to talk about. But you learn a lot about who is there off of the census, whether they buy the group thing or not. Go ahead.
So if I come in and I want to sell a group policy, that census could be made available to me?
Yeah. Yeah, they got to give it to you, else you can't send it to the carriers. There are working in this Utah marketplace a good half a dozen group carriers that are good folks, and they have group reps that can help you with that. And if you want to know the names of some of them, stick around. I'll give you a couple of names. You can call them, and they'll help you with it. The good news is it is guarantee issue. The downside is, so you start with the census, send it to the carrier. They all live in tall buildings someplace, and you get back the proposals. If it's a group of more than 25, I always send it to multiple carriers, because sometimes one will view it more favorably than the other. I had one that a producer and I worked together that had 100 people on it, sent it to five carriers. Two of them said, we absolutely don't even want to have any interest in this thing. The other couple did. And so you need to send it to more than one, and they compete on it. Different than the premiums we see on individual products like individual DI and life, the group carriers have a little bit of flexibility in their premium structure. And so sometimes they will start this little bidding frenzy against each other to try to get the group if they really want it. So be aware of that. So don't, if one sends you something and you don't particularly care for it, you know, call another one, and they may haggle at each other and they may give you a better deal. Okay, now, the downside to group, and I will tell you this just so you're aware, group benefits coordinate with Social Security, disability, workman's comp, and the social benefits. And so the client is going to be obligated to apply for Social Security, disability, and there'll be some coordination there if they get it. So be aware of that, and that definitions of disability may not be as strong. I'll rephrase that, will not be as strong. Okay? But group is a good way to get in front of a lot of people and then sell them some other. Now, picking the forest, the trees in the forest, here are business uses, and that's where you find the rest of the items on this page that may be of value to you. You will find overhead expense, key person, business loan, retirement completion, and disability buy-sell. Now, this is why we want overhead expense.
Thanks. Mr. Delaney's office.
Oh, hello, Mr. Delaney. If you're not feeling well, I'm sorry.
Yes, I can have that ready for you. You'll be stopping in to pick it up?
Oh, you'll stop in tomorrow.
And what about the big presentation today at 2 o'clock?
Absolutely, I'll have a conference doing from home.
Okay.
Feel better, Mr. Delaney.
Delaney is out sick, and so is the rest of his company out on the golf course. But if you are the prime mover in a small professional organization, and you see some of them listed here, dentists, doctors, attorneys, accountants, self-employed people who they themselves are the primary revenue generator, and they have staff, and that might include you as well, overhead expense coverage is the one that you can use to help keep that business going should that primary revenue generator not be available to work and generate. It pays the salaries of the other help. Doesn't pay their salary. They need to have bought some individual or some group to take care of them, but it pays the salaries of the help, the rent, the equipment leases, insurance premiums, taxes, those kind of things that would be due if that person were working. But they're not there working, and as a result, they need it. So how does it work? You can get benefits from the traditional carriers up to $50,000 a month from some of the surplus carriers, such as Mr. Peterson over here. You can get a much bigger number if you need it. Benefit period's 12 months. Elimination period's 30 days, and it pays the money to the business. Now tell me in your mind, which of the benefit periods you see shown there and elimination periods would you guess are the most common? 12 and 30. Most businesses have a month's worth of receivables at hand, you know, that are going to be coming in the cash flow. And so thereafter, you know, this is going to start to thin out. And 12 months typically is the benefit period, because if you have we're going to pick on the dental world here a whole bunch because they have a real need for this. It is expensive to run a dental practice. But let's suppose that you and I have a toothache and our dentist fell off his trampoline or something in his home and not able to pull our teeth, fill our teeth, or fix us. Are we going to wait around till he comes back? No, because it hurts too bad, and so we have a choice. We can either hunt up another dentist, or if this particular dentist has bought disability overhead protection, he or she may have a substitute professional working in that practice, being paid by the overhead policy, that keeps that practice alive. Okay, so I've got to go someplace different anyhow, but they have my insurance, I know the people, I got my records. I'll go there even though my regular dentist is not there, and lo and behold, the patients stick around. Now, something that I think would be pretty obvious to a lot of people who are disabled, they're going to know pretty quickly whether or not they're going to make it back. Within that 12-month period, they're going to know. And if they're not going to make it back, they either have to close it down, which is a bad idea, or they can sell it to someone. And many times that substitute person who's in there practicing becomes a good viable buyer because they're there, they know the people, they see the practice. And so that becomes the logical person to sell it to. Now, that being the case, if you had, say, had a 24-month benefit period on an overhead policy, by the time the 2 years has gone by and there's no clients or patients there, there's not much left to sell. And so 12 months, 30 days. Okay, moving along. Some of you may have sold some key person life insurance. Every business of any size has someone there that's important to them. It could be the owner, it could be the sales manager, it could be an operations manager. In a lot of business, it's the computer guy, the IT guy who keeps their company website running if that business is heavily driven by internet sales. That website goes down, they're in trouble, they got to have it fixed. Well, let's suppose that that IT person dies in a car wreck. They have a real immediate need to replace them. Let's suppose that IT person doesn't die in the car wreck, but still is not going to be coming to work for months. They have a need to keep their website up. Hence, key person disability insurance, which pays money to the company to seek out, train, and replace that key person who's not able to work. That way they're not paying double for the same efforts. And if the person never comes back, they at least have had some money generated to them, and it's typically a function of their salary that goes to the company to help replace the lost revenues that person might have had, say it were a sales manager, or to replace the lost knowledge that was gone because the guy can't function anymore. Key person. Business loan protection. I like this one, and it's relatively new here in Utah. And this is how it works. Any business person who may borrow money for acquisition or growth of their business puts their name on the line at a bank or some kind of lender. If they should become dead, they may have been forced to buy some life insurance to pay back that loan. What if they don't die, but are still unable to produce the money to pay the payments? What's going to happen to them making their payments? Now, I'll give you an example. Here we go. It's typically up to the amount of the loan payment, a 10-year loan, a variety of elimination periods. But this is how it works, and I'll give you a real-life example. About 6 months ago, I got a phone call from an insurance producer in Colorado. He was working with a young orthodontist who was buying a practice. This practice was valued at $906,000. By the way, the going price on dental practices these days anywhere from $500,000 to $1 million very easily. So you can see why the retiring dentists want to sell. That's their cash cow. They've been working their whole life to get accumulated, and so they want to sell it and take the money. This young man, 34 years old, was buying an orthodontic practice, $900,000+. His monthly payment was $9,300 a month for 10 years. His banker said, go buy an overhead expense policy with a $10,000 monthly benefit period for a year, and if you don't get better, then sell it. Well, there's a couple of flaws in that thing. First off, what happens in years 2 through 10? And if he tries to sell at a fire sale on a dental practice, may not yield him what he borrowed. It was that point I got inserted into the conversation with this producer, and I said, whoa, that overhead thing's a good idea to cover your daily and monthly overhead, but what you need is a loan protection policy that will pay that loan for the whole 10 years, pay it right along, and if you should fall off your rocking horse and can't work, you can sleep at night, and so can your banker, knowing that that loan's going to be paid off. Well, the big question is going to be, well, Bart, how much is it? I said, well, let's do some looking. So we got the quote together for his $9,300 monthly payment for 10 years, $180 a month. Well, not bad. He says, okay, I could do that. The banker was all over that idea. Then this young dentist says, well, what if I could come up with a, and that was with a 30-day elimination period. He says, what if I could come up with 3 months worth of my own payment, so it was a 90-day elimination period. I says, now you realize that's about $30,000 you got to come up with. He says, yeah, I can do it. I thought, holy cow, they must charge a lot to fix teeth in Colorado if you're, A, your first off buyer on almost $1 million and you got enough money to still live after that. He says, but I could come up with that $30,000. I says, okay, let me get it recalculated. I looked at the number on the illustration. I says, no, I got to have done something wrong. So I called somebody at the carrier and said, did I do this right? Yeah, $85 a month. So if he's willing to assume 3 months worth of payments on his own for $85, the rest of that 10 years is taken care of. It is a no-brainer. It was a no-brainer in this one. It was a case, hey, yeah, send you the paperwork. You're going to buy this thing. So if you have clients that borrow money to grow their business, acquire a business, that's an additional sale. It doesn't count against the replacement ratio of 60 or 70%. And the bankers love it. And typically, if you have banker friends or your colleagues, you can maybe make them aware of it, and they may insist on it to protect them. Okay, next. If you become disabled, you may no longer participate in your company's 401k, because if you are in a 401k or some other similar company-sponsored thing, once you are disabled, you're probably going to be deemed a non-employee. And being a non-employee, even if you had money, you cannot put it into the company's 401k plan anymore. That being the case, retirement protection disability is the one that replaces the money that you're putting into your 401k or other similar retirement plan. And let's suppose you're putting $1,000 a month in, the company matches at $500, you're 35 years old, you're looking at 30 years of putting 18 grand a year into that policy, or into that retirement plan, to retire nicely. Well, if you fall off of your rocking chair in the living room and can no longer work, how does 30 years of no retirement look to you? So, hence retirement completion disability. Replaces the money you're putting in, replaces the money your employer's putting in, 180 or 365 days. Now, last but not least on the list, you're going to see disability buy-sell. And it is protection for partners of companies where they may have each an interest in the business. If you've sold some buy-sell life insurance, they cross-insure each other or entity purchase each other, so that if one of them dies, here comes money to buy out their interest, so you're not in partnership with the deceased partner's spouse or her new husband or their kids. Well, what if the partner doesn't die? I'm going to suggest to you it's worse to have a disabled partner than a dead one. because that partner is still there with his hands out, expecting to get paid, telling you how to run the company from his now disabled position. And lo and behold, that's a problem. So what does it do? It pays out that partner's interest. Benefits can be a couple million, maybe more than that, depending upon the nature of the business and equity position. And it is either paid out lump sum or in installments with a variety of different structures. I'll tell you a little story that goes along with that. A number of years ago, I had friends in the office products industry, and there were two partners who owned a little independent office supply store. Doing well, they were making money, life was good. One of the partners started having a few health problems and would go home after lunch to lay down. Over time, it went from going home after lunch to being gone for a day or two, to being gone for a week, to being gone for several weeks. Over the course of a period of time, it got to where he only came in every 2 weeks for 30 minutes and slept in his lazy boy chair that he brought into his office. In the meantime, the healthy partner is struggling with keeping the business together by himself. He finally brings in his son to help out. And in the meantime, the sick guy collects his paycheck every month, is on the health insurance plan, driving up the rates. And I remember the day my friend said to me, I've got to have a conversation with my partner. He's either got to buy me out or I got to buy him out, but I can no longer afford to let him bleed us dry. Well, that conversation happened. The healthy partner, my friend, refinanced his home, refinanced his son's home, stripped the equity out of both, refinanced his small business loan, took all the equity he had there to buy out the sick guy. The sick guy now has all the money, and my friend has all the... And then Staples moves in right down the street, a large national competitor against this little independent firm. I had lunch with him just last week. My friend is 62 years old, at a time in his life when he theoretically should be settling down a little bit. He is working harder than ever to keep his business alive so A, he and his son don't lose their homes, but B, so that in the end they can pay off their debt and they have a place to work and to live. And so had buy-sell protection been put in place years ago, this would have been a non-conversation. So here we are. What we have talked about thus far is academic. It's theory. But let me just tell you that this stuff works. I'll tell you a couple of stories and then we will be done right on time. Everybody, take your hand and hold it up like this. Wiggle your fingers at me, right hand, left hand, don't care. Fold down your middle three fingers so all you have is a thumb and a pinky. Try picking up your pen in front of you or anything else and using it with any kind of dexterity. Can't do it. This is what's happened to my friend the dentist. July 2009, a producer took me to this dental clinic. 45-year-old established dentist, 34-year-old young dentist. The young guy had just bought into the practice. Young guy has horses and a hobby ranch with some cattle on it. The established guy says, you know, we got to do something about him. He's going to fall off his pony. Or those cows are going to do something to him. So we got to do something. So we go up there, this producer and I, and took care of him. Fast forward now to April the 18th of 2011. I get a phone call from that producer. He says, we've had a little problem up there. And I says, what's happened? I'm thinking it's my rhinestone cowboy who's had troubles. No, it was our now 47-year-old dentist. It had snowed that day where he works. Something got stuck in his snowblower, and I don't know how he did it, but he reached around to clear it out with his right hand and cleared it out, and I see you grimacing and shaking your head. The snowblower got free, and it did what snowblowers do. It started to spin. It took those three fingers off, slick as a whistle. He got a helicopter ride that he didn't enjoy. Came to the hospital here. There was nothing left to reattach. A week later, I am in his home with the producer. Now, this man has eight children. there's a little blonde-headed girl with curls and glasses looking up at me. And I turned to him and I says, you know what? The little girl here is going to be okay. She's going to be okay because her daddy did the right thing 2 years ago. And so let me unfold the story for you. I said, you bought a group short-term disability policy with an 8-day wait. It's now day 8. We'd send them claim forms, by the way. I said, fill out those claim forms. They're going to start sending you money every week until 3 months has gone by, and then it's going to roll over to a long-term disability claim, and it's going to pay you till your retirement age. He had some individual was layered on top of the group. I said, that's going to pay you till you're 65. He had overhead expense coverage that had a 60-day elimination period that had a provision in there to pay a substitute dentist, because I said, looks to me like those fingers are not going to grow back in 60 days. You're probably done being a dentist, aren't you? And so that overhead policy paid for a year. It hired a substitute dentist, and that substitute has bought into the practice. He had an overhead a disability buyout policy that at the end of a year started making monthly payments to buy out his interest for 5 years in that practice. I talked to him 3 days ago. We were having some questions on his group claim and all that. And I said to him, you know, oh, by the way, before I tell you that part of the story, about 3 or 4 months ago, his wife called me and said, we're moving. And I says, oh, dear. I knew he didn't need to move for financial reasons. Where are you going? North Carolina. What for? It's a long ways away. My husband's going back to school, and the buyout payments are what's paying the tuition. Well, what's he going to study? Well, he wants to do dental radiology. You don't need fingers to do that, to look at a computer screen. So anyway, they've moved to North Carolina. I talked to him last just 2 or 3 days ago with a question on his group claim. And I said, you know, just think. I said, aren't you glad you did this? He said, yes. I says, just think if you hadn't. What shape would you have been in? He says, I don't even want to think about that. So this much I can tell you, folks. It works. It affects people. His disability policy has bought 2 weddings this year. The little girl is probably 6 or so. She's probably in kindergarten. I'm sure it bought all the back-to-school stuff she needs. But we're dealing with real people and their families and their lives. And I can tell you that it works. I've had experiences where people didn't buy it, and the outcome was far sadder because it didn't work because they did not buy. And so we're messing with serious stuff here, folks. And so if you profess, and I'm on my soapbox here now for just a second, if you profess to be a financial planner and you omit disability coverage, you're doing your clients a disservice. Go ahead.
So I got a question. So how long do they have to have stabilized income before they can be able to get insurance? A new dentist, new orthodontist.
You know what? For people like those, yeah. Every single carrier has a new professionals in practice provision that if you're graduating or finishing residency and you're going into one of the medical or law professions, they will give them $5,000 to $6,000 a month in benefit with no income documentation. So brand new guys can get it. Some other professions are not afforded that, but in the medical and the legal and accounting and computer world, by the way, they will.
I mean, so you got a contract. Yeah, they have a contract with a company or whatever, but they haven't been there an entire year, or you know, they don't have 2 year history yet.
They'll take it with a letter of intent from their new employer or the new clinic they're going to. I've had him where this was a skin doctor, and he had a contract with a clinic locally, and he just sent me a copy of the offer letter that was provided to him by his soon-to-be new employer, because he hadn't even started practicing yet. He got a policy based upon that, and a pretty good one. Mike, you had your hand up. Nothing yet.
Wasn't there something you told me something a while back about an ice cream place or something?
Okay, Chisholm Ice Cream, very quickly. You have to have what's called a qualified sick pay plan document, if you're going to pay wages or salaries to a person in the company, that qualified sick pay plan just defines what the company will or won't do in the event somebody's disabled. If you don't provide that and you provide wages, salary, or compensation to them, it's considered a gift and is not deductible to the company. Any other questions? Well, guys, I want to thank you. Go ahead.
Is this income that comes off the disability policy, is it taxable?
Okay. If they will pay it with post-tax dollars, with their own money, no taxes on the benefit. It's tax-free. Okay? So if they have ambitions of trying to deduct that, they shouldn't. Far better to save very little on your taxes. Don't pay more taxes and have it be on your thing. They should gross up the wages of the individual so he pays taxes on the premium. See your tax advisor for detail. Did you see that little disclaimer there? Now, it wouldn't be a DI presentation from Bart the DI Nut without DI Nuts. We'll pass the sack around, grab yourself some nuts to eat on the way home. With that, I want to thank you for coming. I've got cards here. If you want to engage in a conversation about DI, I'll be glad to teach you how. Thank you.